perfect prophecies to with the teaching. There's been some sayings that our paths will all get easier, but you will be stronger. And then also with pressure being crushed, that's where diamonds are created. Mm-hmm. This pressure and this diamond. So tonight's teaching is just going to be a perspective of looking at what is the purpose of our existence. I think, and most of this is going to be kind of reflecting on myself. So when I say Abraham did this or this, these are my thoughts as I'm reading, going, what would I be saying if this happened to me? What would I be doing? And I have a tendency to read about Abraham. We read about all these trials and stuff that they go through. And then a trial happens to me. I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm faithful. I'm this and that. And you go, wait a minute. Was Abraham faithful? Of course he was faithful. So why am I shocked when I'm going through something? Now, with that, with trials in our life and tests, it doesn't mean everything is from Yahweh. But every test you go through is an opportunity for you to pass for him. So sometimes you're reaping sins. But you could turn, Manasseh turned. But the purpose of life is, really the teaching is this, being squeezed. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Okay. Orange juice. Juice. And in Deuteronomy, there's a word that is for choose. I didn't write it down, but there's a word choose. Yahweh through Moshe or Moses would say, death and life in front of you, choose. Choose. Choose, choose, choose. And unlike a grape or an orange, when we are squeezed, we get to choose what comes out.
Yeah.
Vera was asking about, my wife is learning English, she's asking about a cuss word. And I'm like, don't say it. It's kind of a joke, you kind of learn. I'm like, no, don't. Because when I rededicate myself to Christ, all of a sudden I had cuss words inside me that I couldn't get rid of. And I didn't even know they were there in there until I dropped something on my foot. And I'm like, I didn't know it was still in there. And so what happened was, when I dropped something on my foot or something bad happens, or it could be, that's the last final draw, all of a sudden you'll see something coming out of us every once in a while. And the purpose of that is to be observant. What exactly is going on here? But the squeezing a Christian or a son of Yahweh is what Yahweh does with us. And if we're going to look at some examples about the Yahweh's greatest leaders whose lives did not get easier because they were faithful. Wait a minute, I've been so faithful, it should be easy. No, not necessarily, but it does make it stronger. What is the purpose of your life? To have an easy life? No, it's to live for him. 2 Corinthians 5, 14-15, your life does not belong to you. He died for you, and you are now to be his doulos, or the work of his slave. I think it's Romans 6. You belong to him. Oh, and so sometimes, kind of understanding these things, if we wake up in the morning, my purpose is not to be comfortable. My purpose is to choose him. And sometimes with the choosing, it can be resurrections in our life. Yahweh wanting to resurrect things in our lives. And as I was thinking about you and Dad, what would be a huge squeezing? You get a full-time job. I'm not getting a full-time job. I'm 78 years old. I got plans. Right? Or it could be whatever these things are. And so the purpose of the teaching is just to be thinking ahead and forward. Because we're going to go through tests. And if we're thinking ahead, forward thinking, then when those tests come, then we can be prepared to say, this is how I'm going to handle this. But the best personal trainers or coaches, like personal trainers, they'll say, I want you to do 10 more reps. And you go, 8, 9, 10, they'll go 5 more. No, you said 10. And they'll say, no, 5 more. So you do 5 more, then I'll say 2 more. You're like, make up your mind. The purpose of the personal trainer is not for you to tabulate numbers. It's failure. What's inside you? And so they don't say that. Maybe they don't explain it. The purpose is you got 2 more in you. And the best personal trainers or weight partners, lifting partners, are ones you don't like. My brother Israel and I don't always get along. But we will get more out of each other. So there'll be a time where we're lifting. I'm like, you better take this right now. You go, do it, do it. He's screaming and yelling at me. I can't get this weight off me. Now, I'm so angry, I want to choke my brother. I've never done that. but something like that. And all of a sudden, he gets it out of me. I lift it up. I jump up. He hits my hand. I hit his hand. And I'm looking. I'm going to go, how did you get that out of me? That's training. Good teachers, if a kid comes here from China and he is in third grade and he's already got it all, and actually he could be in eighth grade, what do? They keep him in third grade?
No.
Well, that's not fair. No, the purpose is the purpose of life is tests and trials and to get the most out of it. Christ, you know, the husband's the head of the wife, right? Who's the head of the husband?
Yahweh. Christ.
Christ. Who's the head of Christ?
Father.
Yeah. Here's Yahweh. Here's the whole thing. And Christ is at the right hand running everything. What is his purpose? Well, we do know through Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing. So if we are being obedient, there's a good chance that he needs you to go do something that requires a lot of faith. Why? To be well-pleasing to the Father. But the squeezing is going to be the heart. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures where Yahweh is actually, he wants to find out what's inside your heart. What's in your heart? And sometimes you go through something really bad. When my son had seizures, I couldn't believe what I did. An hour after I vented, I couldn't believe what came out of my mouth. I started accusing him. I just got done reading scriptures. I just ran for 30 minutes and spoke in tongues for my family, and I'm doing scriptures, and this happens to my son? And I wasn't thinking when that came out. But an hour later, I'm going, what just came out of me? I didn't even recognize what was inside me. Do you think Yahweh was shocked? I don't think so. But here was a test going, you didn't even know you had that in you. What if this was really tough? So that was a little thing. In Genesis chapter 17.
Go there?
Yeah. So we're going to look at Abraham, who's the only person who's called Yahweh's amigo, his friend. Abraham. It's the only one. So you can imagine, hey, we're good friends. You know, when somebody would read 15 through 18, Genesis 17.
17:15-18.
Yes, please.
And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah is her name. And I will bless her, yea, moreover, will give from her to thee a son. And I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people from her shall arise. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, To one 100-year-old shall a child be born, and shall even Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth?
Verse 18.
And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
I'm going to pause right there. What just came out of him? What's his conclusion?
No faith.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to make an observant to say what just came out. He just concluded his son's going to die. How did that feel?
His son's going to die.
Oh, that Ishmael may live. Just said, Ishmael. Yeah. Oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Something's going to happen to Ishmael. What's going on here? So maybe he's not going to be dead. Maybe not the chosen one. But what we do have here is shock. 13 years, Ishmael has been the son of Abraham. Yahweh, up to this point, has never said the seed's coming through Sarah. He did say, Abraham, you're going to have a seed. So they don't get pregnant. I'm supposed to have a seed. Yahweh didn't say Sarah's going to be it. They deduced, we'll go through Hagar. Who's Hagar have? She has Ishmael. Who named Ishmael?
Yahweh.
Did Yahweh name the baby of David and Bathsheba?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The first son. No, a son that was in sin, there is no name. But through Ishmael, Yahweh does name him. So if that Ishmael may live before thee, what's going on here?
Worship him.
This is shock. For 13 years, right around then, it appears Abraham's thinking Ishmael is the promised seed. And if I was Ishmael, if I was Abraham, what would I have been teaching Ishmael? No. You're the promised seed, man. You're it. The seed of the curse of Genesis 3:15 is going to be reversed through you. And then here is Sarai possibly hearing this. This is Hagar. The scriptures don't say any of this, but I'm just thinking if that was it, what's going on with Abraham going, oh, that Ishmael may live. And then the other thing is, why didn't you just tell me? Yahweh, why didn't you tell me Ishmael's... What is the purpose of all this? So for today's example, Abraham is being squeezed. What's coming out? And what's going to come out with Abraham, he's going to get to choose. And what's going to happen is, Yahweh says it's going to be you and Sarah, and you're going to go get pregnant, and what's going to come out is it's going to be the Christ line through Isaac. But here's one of the Yahweh's most faithful person, all of a sudden, oh, that Ishmael may live. What is this? This is stress. Something's possibly changing. Miriam's another really good example of squeeze, and then I'm going to come back to why. So really the teaching is about Deuteronomy 8. We won't go there yet. But here's Miriam in Luke 35. Is Miriam a good woman? Yahweh picked her to bear his son. She's betrothed. Okay, she's in the engagement process. And Yahweh sends a messenger to say, you're going to get pregnant. Why didn't you tell me that before I engaged with Joseph? Could Yahweh have told him before they got married? Hey, you two get engaged, right? I got the two of you guys together, and you're going to have the Mashiach. And if I was Miriam also, it would have been, okay, I'm going to be the one having it. Okay, you go tell Joseph and his parents. Send the same angel. Actually, I tell you what. Well, I'll get my parents, Joseph's parents. Send the same angel back to explain. I don't want to be the one telling him this. Would you? I'm going to get pregnant before our... What happened? That didn't happen. Miriam rose up. And so we're looking at people possibly getting shocked to prepare us. Every once in a while, we're going to go get through shocked. And sometimes we miss the mark and something bad happens because we missed it. We shouldn't have gone that way. But everything is an opportunity to glorify Him. To go, how are you going to respond to this? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So, this is page 208. Actually, 207. And verse 2. And so, if you read right above chapter 8, lessons taught by the sojourners in the desert. Moses is still speaking. The purpose of this is the end. It's been 40 years, right around 40 years, wandering in the desert. Kind of the conclusion. Would somebody please read verse 2, please?
So then thou shalt remember all the way in which Yahweh thy God caused thee to journey these 40 years in the desert, that he might humble thee, to put thee to the proof, to know what was in thy heart.
Why did he humble him? To put them to the proof. Why? To know what was in their heart. What's in your heart? Here's Joseph. Here's Caleb and Yehoshua. Wait a minute. Yahweh just destroyed all of Egypt. He says, we got this, we got this. He chose. Life or death. And if your eyes and my eyes are focused on this world, on our assets and these relationships, we're not preparing ourselves for the test. Because guess what? There's tests. You don't belong to yourself. Christ's job is to get faith out of us and obedience and advance the kingdom. And this whole life is an audition for the next life. Christ is trying to prepare us for the next life. I like to think this is like preparatory school. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, when he said before we got into World War II, he was at Wichita University, before it was Wichita State, and all his friends were taking ROTC because they were preparing for the war. He goes, I'm not going to ROTC. We're not going to go to war. I don't remember. So he started studying some other things. Japan drops bombs on us, brings us into the war. And what's the result? All his friends are officers, and he's a private. He could have been prepared, but he wasn't. He goes, that's why I was a private. And that's me telling a story from what I remember from 15 years ago. But the thing is, this life is preparatory for the next life. The purpose of is for Christ to get us to prepare us for this next life. And the more we live one day to the day as if it's our last day, you know what happens? we're kind of set free. This could be my last day living for him. How are you going to go out? Okay, now we turn to, okay, so why did Yahweh put them to the proof? Why did he take them to places where there was no water?
To sort them out.
What's in the heart? Yeah. So it doesn't get real clear, but it says, it appears Yahweh doesn't know what's in our heart until it's squeezed. And then we got to choose. And there's times where you either murmur. I have murmured. Oh my, I can't believe how many times I've murmured. I live in the most wealthy country, the best time of the... My second car is having issues. My third car. Oh, your third car. So whatever the thing would be. Your heart being squeezed, so we get to choose what's going to come out. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 15 and 16. Let's see.
Chapter 8, 15 and 16, Deuteronomy.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, you can just read 16, please.
Who fed thee with manna in the desert, which thy father had not known, that he might humble thee, and that he might put thee to the proof, to do thee good in thy hereafter.
The hereafter is an interesting word. It's Strong's number 319, Akaeth. And later, last, posterity, reward, and it goes in to say prophetic for the future time. And to prove, to do thee good in thy hereafter. Are you gonna, and so for our purposes with this teaching is, you're being proved to see if you can get the job in the next life. Can you do it? And if anything, look at what happened to Peter over and over and over. Are you kidding me? How about a break? You know, that's what our flesh would say. But wait a minute. There is no revelation. There is no vacation like fellowship with Yahweh and Christ wherever you're going. You can have a vacation or you could be on the Mount Transfiguration. You could have lots of friends around and drive around in convertibles, or you could be walking on water. What are you going to remember in the next life? Is it comfort? What is the purpose of our life? Is this? And here's Yahweh proving us to find out what is in you. And Moses was the epitome of it. Here's at the end of his life, Yahweh's doing it again. Another thing with Moses. And from one perspective, you look at it, why did you just leave this guy alone? Come on, man. Shouldn't he just coast? Aaron, you're missing it. Yahweh is giving Moses another opportunity for a promotion in the next life. So when I'm 120 years old, he tells me to start a new business. Oh great! You're doing this because you hate me. You missed it. A promotion for the next life. The next life. And what is the next life? Could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. What is inside you? Genesis chapter 22, 12. So Vera had mentioned a couple different times that when she says she'd make forgive me if I say this incorrectly, she vowed she'd never go back to university. Of course she's going to call me back to university. There's been other times in her life that she said, I'll never do this.
Yeah.
And
been there.
I don't want to make any conclusions on any of that, but we have some of those things in all of our lives. I'm never going to do this. And it could be a coincidence. But it could be the reason why we're saying I'm never going to do that is because it's going to require the most amount of faith out of me.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most difficult. The purpose of our life is not easy. To be easy. It's about producing things. And Christ goes, what are the odds? I ask you to do the most difficult. So what we could do to help make our life a little easier is instead of imagining tomorrow being easier, what would be the most difficult? What would be the hardest thing you'd want for me to do? And you start thinking about it, and go, okay. And then once you do that, all of a sudden it's not as bad as you think. But we're actually doing, when we start expanding our imagination, what if he did ask you to move to Africa? Leave your job. Would you say no? I had that in my times. There were a couple of times when he sent me to Africa. I'm the last person who wanted to go. Perfect, you're the guy. Moses, last person that wants to leave. Perfect, you're the guy. And so in my case, with going to Africa the one time, I'm going to lose everything. I'm losing everything. And I'm not attracted to black women. Nothing personal. I'd like a wife. So you're going to send me someplace where I'm not going to see one single distraction. I didn't think of it that way. But what was the purpose of it? And then I had to sit there and go, do I go to Africa or not go to Africa? I'm not going to Africa, man. But the thing would be that Yahweh was like, Aaron, you see your house? Yeah. You like it? Yeah. How'd you get it? I obeyed. Yeah. Aaron, you see your car? You see the country that you live in? You know that I could tell you to move. I could have you deported. Could Yahweh have me deported?
Mm-hmm.
Of course he could. I could have you reassigned to Antarctica. You like your life and you're wanting to rebel because you want to preserve your comfortable life, but you forgot I'm the one that gave you your whole life. I could take it away just like that. So don't hold on to what you've been given. And so the whole thing is, how do you think, Aaron, you think you can keep all your stuff by rebelling now? Not when you put it that way. So the whole thing is, somebody read 22 verse 12 for me. And this is another example of Abram being squeezed again.
Then he said, do not put forth thy hand unto the young man, neither do to him anything at all. For now know that one who revereth God thou art, when thou hast not withheld thy son, the only one from
thee. Okay, Abraham right here has been asked to offer up his son to kill him. And we know from the book of Hebrews, he was believing it has to be a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection. But how much stress do you think is going through this 130-year-old man? You got to do this quick. I mean, you're going to have to slit the throat of somebody you love, cover your face, something. And if I was going to have to do it, it's going to have to be really quick. I don't want to hesitate. But can you imagine your blood pressure? And here he is, and he's this close, and Yahweh goes, that's it. Now. The key word, now I know. What's in your heart? Testing. Finding things out. Not everything. Again, I'm going to keep coming back. Not everything is a test from Yahweh, but all these tests is an opportunity for you to go. And can you imagine the angels watching Abram going, man, this guy gets pregnant when he's 100 years old. How hard was that for them? He talks to Sarah. Sarah rises up, and instead of them going off into the sunset at 190 years old, him being 100, her being 90, it was the beginning. Going, man, what a story. And with that word hereafter in Deuteronomy chapter 8, what is the purpose of Abraham's life? It's the next life. It's the next life. I'm going to go, I'm trying to prepare you for the next life, so when he's testing us or asking us to do something more difficult, he's looking, going, you know, Donald Trump had a lot of people in his first term that he trusted, and a lot of people stabbed him in the back. Well, guess what? This second term, what's going to happen? You're not getting a call. So with all of us, it's going to be, okay, do you want to get called? And it could be the hard thing. The thing is just be ready to go, I have no idea how I'm going to do it. I am so scared. I got urine going down my leg. And I'm scared. I'm so scared, but I will do it for you. I'll do it for you. Help me do it. And can you imagine him going? It says we can be a fragrance, a smell, or we can smell like feces, caca. And when we are in unbelief, it's like caca and flies and all kinds of stuff. And all of us have a choice. But when we go through that pressure, now I know. Wendy, now I know. When you guys adopted Melania and started teaching, now I know. Look what they're doing. Another example of somebody being squeezed is Samuel, before he anoints King Saul, it says he is old. The people of Israel said, Samuel, you're old. And your sons don't follow in your ways. Give us a king. So where do you think he's in his life? I'm old. It's time to retire. So I'm going to go do something possibly. And here he is. He anoints Saul. And if you turn to chapter 16, verse 1, as I'm talking.
What chapter?
Chapter 16, verse 1, page 304.
Samuel. You didn't know what book.
First Samuel.
First Samuel.
Thanks.
That's the truth.
And so we know that King Saul was a king for 40 years, and it appears that possibly the first 20 years were good, the last 20 were not so good. I don't know. So I don't know what the time period is here. But I've heard somebody say it was about 20 years good, possibly 20 years, but I'm not quite sure on that. But somebody read verse 1.
And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long art thou going to pine for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel?
You can stop right there. So why is Samuel pining? Is it because he has hope?
Yeah, the hope of Saul.
Yes, hope of Saul. So he's going through something. How many times do we have relationships where somebody failed? Whose choice was it to be king? Saul. And he failed. And here is Samuel. Who is the hope? And here he is. And here's Yahweh. You're looking and going to go, how long did this take? Where Yahweh's watching him, pining, or what is he going through? And some of the best times of my life is when I vented. When I'm pining or something, I go and I vent. And I'm usually forced to do it. Find out. You want to know what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. This is happening. This is happening. And then I vent respectfully. And then after that, what did you think was going to happen? I don't know. Come on. I got you, man. I got you last time. Yeah. I'm sorry, boss. But some of this is in the best times of our life. But here's Samuel. He was old before Saul. Saul's failed. And what is Yahweh saying? Oh, that's okay. We'll just start over. Start over? I was supposed to retire 20 years ago. Now start over? Okay, hold on a second. So we are going to start over. Which general are we going to pick? Is it going to be Abinadab? Abinadab? Abner. He'd be a good general to take over. Who is it? A kid? I don't want to start over with a kid. Yeah, it's going to be a kid. And what was it? And so if I was Samuel, you'd be like, why are you doing this to me? If I was Samuel. But the point is, because I love you, you'll thank me in the next life, Samuel. Mm-hmm. You'll rejoice and you will see David. And here's a man after Yahweh's own heart. Here's David, not perfect, but man, his heart. And Samuel, he did not have a son's through the blood to follow, but he had something better. Who is my mother and my brother and my sister? Those who do my father's will. Yahweh gave him a son, David. Here's David choosing. And here he is. Okay, a boy. I'm starting all over again. They said a KFC starter, the guy who started KFC, it was allegedly 65 years old. Just getting started. What a great way for us to stop this retirement garbage. There's no retirement in the scriptures. Retirement is, I work 40 years, I do what the hell I want. So who? I mean, you can. Yeah, choose. Elijah, this is one of my favorites. Because Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, this is where Elijah goes and it's the best revival there is. He calls fire out of heaven. Boom. Kill the prophets of Baal. This is after a drought. People are finally going to turn. They're finally going to turn. And he runs before the chariot to go into Samaria before the king. What's going on in his mind? I don't know. But I know if I was him, yes! Finally a prophet and a king. Just like David and Gad. David and Nathan. Finally. Success, right? No, because in 1 Kings chapter 9, Jezebel's going to kill you. She's giving you 24 hours. What? So he flees. That's it? This isn't the revival that I was imagining. Now he's in a mountain. Fire comes down, earthquakes, and still small voice. And here's Yahweh being so patient with him, And he says, in 19:9, and he entered there into a cave and lodged there, and lo, the word of Yahweh came and said, what are you doing here, Elijah?
I love that.
What am I doing? I quit! You know how faithful I've been? Have you seen what I've been through? And here's this, and here's that, and these ventings, and you want to know? Why did Yahweh ask Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? What's in there? Eve. What happened, Eve? At least she was honest. Cain, where's your brother? Why is he asking these rhetorical questions? Is he playing with them? Or is he trying to give their heart a chance? Even Cain could have fell down on his hands and knees and said, I did it. was in envy, I was weak. Okay, and he could have chose. But the purpose of your life is to choose daily. Choose. You're going to be squeezed. And here's Elijah. Where are you, Elijah? Ah! And then Yahweh says, okay, I got a couple. You want to retire? I got you. But I got a couple things I want you to do first. Then you can retire. How about that? And then when Elijah goes to sleep, Ecclesiastes says the dead know nada, nothing. And Psalm 6 says the dead thoughts perish. It's all over. So when you die and you rest with your thoughts, you go to sleep, do you have any recollection? Do you have any memory? No, it's over. And you go to sleep and you wake up just like you did last night. It's a resurrection. And you're in the new earth. Man, and that could be tomorrow. And so in Psalms 84, 10, it says, better is one day in thy course than 1,000 in the wrath of him, but others will say 1,000 elsewhere. We say these things until it's us. They have all abandoned me. They're trying to kill me. Here's Jeremiah and his sister and going, I'm really having second thoughts about my loyalty. Here I am and here this is, but you can imagine, did he have the ruah? Yeah. Was it easy for Jeremiah? No. No, of course not. Did Jeremiah vent? Of course he would have vented. He's a human. But can you imagine the talks? Jeremiah going, what's going on here? I just want to know. Is this going to be worth it? And can you imagine Yahweh going, hang in there, man. You got 3 hours? You got 2 hours? Hang in there. Hang in there. One day in this course and 1,000 elsewhere. And then if we prepare to go, okay, Yahweh could ask you to do something like Sarah having a baby. Right? Okay. He could ask you to start a whole other business. I don't want to start another business. Starting a new business was like Isaac. So here's Abraham. He's got a 13-year-old kid. I want you to have another kid. I don't want another kid. This guy's finally 13. He's going to be gone soon. I want to start all over again, sleepless nights. No, start over again. Here's Samuel. Start over. And here this whole thing is going to, okay. And Daniel, Daniel chapter 3 is one of my favorites about preparing for the crucible to be pressed. What's going to happen? And because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let's be very clear. You bow down or you die. And can you imagine these three guys talking? Well, we're going to die. We got to bow down. Okay. So we don't die, but eventually we're going to die. Right? And then what? Not good. We're going to be going for Adonai Yahweh. And so we can fear to preserve this life, but eventually we're all gone before him. And we will give an account. So what do we fear more? Going before that judge or this judge? You can imagine just discussing, going, what are we going to do, guys? And it could have been, we are the Jews. We are the Hebrew. We are Yahweh's chosen people, and he has promised us a resurrection. Our hope is not in this world anyways, guys. And if he kills us, what a way to go. Right? Now he wants us to live for him, not to die for him. So we're not supposed to be stupid. Oh, it'll be a martyr running in front of cannon fodder, stuff like that. But the objective is, if this is the only thing, what a way to go. If that's the last thing that's going to be written, said about me, and you get their boldness, because they said, we will not bow to you. Our God will save us. And if he doesn't save us, I'll just read it in verse 17. If it is our Elohim whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning furnace of fire and out of thy hand, O King, he will. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that thy Elohim we will not serve, and the image of gold which thou hast set up we will not adore. Final statements. Can you imagine the angels watching? He's like, you guys, we're surrounded with secret service right now. You guys know that, right? There's secret service that are right here watching us. Secret service are the special people that follow our presence. They get to hear the president say and do. Yeah. They know about Barron yelling at his mom. Oh, they know about that. They know. Do they know what Melania called Donald? Oh, they know about that too. They just sit there in the side of watching. But you can imagine what they're going with the secret service, the messengers watching. It's going, look at these guys. Man. What a way to go. when President Trump was shot and he forced himself up to stand up and say, fight, 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 Elon Musk, his response was, nobody can plan that. Nobody can, either you do it or you don't do it. Nobody knows how they're going to respond to gunshots. And so military people say the same thing. Oh, the most bravest guy, wait till you shot it. Then you'll see. But look what he did. And President Trump rose up to tell the people around him, fight. And Trump said that the people around him, they didn't flee like sheep either. Why? He was surrounded by lions. They were watching him. And when he said, fight, 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 what happened? The crowd roared. Is that what Satan was hoping? What did the angels say?
Yay.
Holy cow! You just really pissed him off. You just really, really got him motivated. Not just him, but everybody else. You really screwed up this time. But what a way to go out. And my favorite is, if we're, will be the conclusion, is in Jonah, page 882. And Jesus Christ says, no sign will be given unto you, you wicked Sadducees and Pharisees, except for one sign. What was that?
Sign of Jonah the prophet.
Okay. And as just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the Son of Earth. Were they going to witness him going in? Yeah. Did the Sadducees and Pharisees witness him die? Yeah. Did they witness that he's gone? Yeah. It was a testimony to who? Them. That's why my dad's teaching with Jonah being vomited, there must have been people to witness. Somebody witnessed this. Because Christ was talking about there's going to be a witness about me being resurrected. It's like Jonah. So with Jonah being vomited on the shore, nobody sees it. There's no witnesses. The people that threw him in was. But if he just showed up, everybody's looking. Unless there were witnesses and they saw him get vomited up. And it said that Nineveh worshipped fish. Now one of their gods vomits this guy up. Now that's a sign, a resurrection. And here's Jonah, and you're going to go, all this, wait till you drop something on your foot, or wait till something bad happens, and we vent, and we go, well, Father, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was in me anymore. But here's Jonah, he's just confused. He obeys Yahweh. When does Yahweh reprove Jonah? He doesn't. Yahweh's working through him. And what is it? Jonah being vomited is what? It's the most important sign in the scriptures, guys. If not the, it's at the very top, because Jesus Christ used it as the sign of the resurrection. He didn't use the sign of King Saul going to a necromancer, no, or some sort of rebellion. He did something, a faithful action that was going to represent, here's Jonah. Obedient, confused, yeah, what is going on here? I'm going to go to Nineveh, I got to do this, throw me into the ocean, now I'm swallowed. What's going to happen? What would you be doing next if now you're swallowed by it? And here's your last thoughts as you're being digested in the gastric juices of a sea monster. Damn you! This is what I get! I knew it! My mom told me that I wasn't hearing from you. My friends told me I was a zealot. My friends said I was getting a little crazy, a little radical. And this is how you repay me? How many people would do that? I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Jonah, and we're going to read Jonah, a resurrection, 1 through 9. Somebody read that for me.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, chapter 2, 1 through 9. But here is Jonah going through the press. What's going to come out? Does Yahweh know? We can't understand Yahweh. Does he know the future? Yes, he did. He knew the seed of the woman. But he wants to know what's inside of our hearts. And here's Jonah. He's going to be swallowed. What's going to come out of his mouth? Okay, so somebody read 1 and 9.
Then prayed Jonah unto Yahweh his God out of the belly of the fish, and said, I cried out of my distress unto Yahweh, and he answered me. Out of the belly of
Sheol
called I, for thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and a flood enveloped me. All thy breakers and thy rolling waves over me.
Is it verse 3? Who threw him into the deep? For thou hast cast me. Okay, I've never seen that before.
And I said, I am driven out from before thine eyes, yet will I again have regard unto thy holy temple.
Right there. This is the beginning. thy holy temple. What is he thinking about? The resurrection. The last thoughts of Jonah. And what is he focusing on? The resurrection. Just like Jesus Christ in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, focusing on the Christ who endured the death of the cross for the shame despised for the glory that was set before him. But here it is. He's thinking about the resurrection. Okay, 5 and 9. Verse 5, I'll read. The waters encompass... Well, Mom, would you read it 5 through 9?
The waters encompass me to the peril of my life. The roaring deep even enveloped me. The seaweed was wrapped about my head. To the roots of the mountains went I down. As for the earth, her bars were about me age-abidingly. Then didst thou bring up out of the pit my life, O Yahweh my God. When my soul darkened itself over me, Yahweh I remembered, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They who take heed to the vanities of falsehood do their own loving kindness forsake. But I, with the voice of praise, will sacrifice unto thee what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongeth to Yahweh.
Can you imagine angels watching his thoughts being broadcast on a big screen? There's just people watching. That's the last of Jonah. Who goes out like that? Well, we know Christ did. It is finished. The last thing, Dad. Okay, I got it. There's Christ. Here's Jonah. We can imagine the angels like watching something going to go. What a way to go. But I, with a voice of praise, will sacrifice unto thee what I have vowed I will pay, salvation which belongeth to Yahweh. Can you imagine? And it says in Deuteronomy 8, Yahweh wants to see what's in our heart. What was in Jonah's heart? Come here, Jonah. God, are you kidding me? This is a time when Judah and Israel is so wicked. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jonah sent to Nineveh. And here's Yahweh. How many people does Yahweh have? Look at Jonah. Look at my man, Jonah. And you can imagine Yahweh, what's in Jonah's heart? And then now read verse 10. After his heart is pressed, squeezed, what comes out? Verse 10.
Then Yahweh spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
And it could have been, what if Jonah's last words were like Hezekiah turning to the wall? Yahweh. What if Jonah's last words were finally something that really changed it? I don't know. We don't know. But what a way to go. And if we're going to go out, and I think the only way you and I could possibly go out like that is if we practice. You got to rehearse it. You go, when I'm going through this, I'm going to go before your sons. I did that once. I did that when I was witnessing to somebody, and I was talking about these guys, about sexual morality, these young guys, and I said, your future father-in-law sees everything you do to your body. You understand that? What you do in the shower, what you do here, what you do there. They looked at me like this. And all of a sudden, I was like, holy moly, I don't know that. That's a little too far. And then one time when I was being tempted, one time just a thought came out of nowhere. I got down on my knees. I said, I'm going to go before your temple. Christ, everything that I did is going to go right before you. I passed this test. I love you. I can't control some of these things that come in, but I can't choose you. I rebuke these things. Thank you for being here for me. And if we prepare for these things and rehearse these things, then we can be ready to when we are pressed, that we can pass these tests. So the conclusion with that, it would be, Joseph. How did Joseph endure all that? Yeah. A resurrection. Read Joseph preparing for the resurrection, because Joseph did Joseph know he's going to be? No. I got demoted to prison, this now turn it. But if there's a resurrection and there's another job, well, that changes everything. So the conclusion should be for us is that if we prepare ourselves, we shouldn't be shocked when Yahweh asks us to start over, like Abraham, Samuel, or when he asks us to turn. Be ready. That's why we exist. The purpose of your life and my life is for us to choose Yahweh. What do you choose? Are you going to quit now? Here's Samuel. Are you going to quit? I remember my dad asked me that once. Are you going to quit football? And I changed. I turned around. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for today, and we thank you for helping us, preparing us for things that happen tomorrow. And our life does not get easier, but it sure gets better the more we know you, and you make us stronger, and we chalk up more and more victories to your glory. Donald Trump being shot was one of the, probably the pinnacle of horrible things that ever happened to him, but it was turned into one of the greatest revivals. And we thank you for helping us prepare for those moments when we can raise our fist and say, fight, 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 and go down like a Jonah or a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I thank you also for your patience with us, your slow to anger to talk to us and to help us. And your word says in Hebrews that a father disciplines a son who he loves. So why are we shocked when we're disciplined? And I specifically ask for your discipline. Please be gentle and be patient with me. Thank you for these words. Don't be fearful about tomorrow, but live in the moment and strengthen yourself. That each one of you is living as the hero of your own story. You watch movies and it's Bilbo Baggins as the hero, or you watch another movie and it's Rocky Balboa as the hero, or it's John Grissom, whoever it is, but each one of you is the hero in your own story. Live it well. You only get once. You get one trip in this life, and I'll give you opportunities. It's not to be picking on you, and it's not to torture you. It's to help you become what you are called to be. I can see each one of you. I can see your heart. And there's so much more available. And sometimes I do press you, ask you to do more, not because I hate you. It's because I love you. And there's more inside of you. And when you do choose me and let me train you, you transform not just yourself, but all those that are around you.